We are in the middle of our series Q&R, questions and responses. Some big questions that we know that you might be asking or that people in your life might be asking. And so we want to do our best to bring some responses that would be helpful to you in your spiritual life, but also that would help you be equipped so that you know how to respond to others as they are asking you these questions, maybe at work or school or in your own family. So I just want to start this one. Do all religions lead to God? Let's just watch this video clip together.
I think it's time to wrap up, and I'd like to wrap up with this closing observation. Actually, it's an appeal to you to be understanding of us Christians when we say Jesus is the way to God. I know that sounds pretty intolerant, but I want you to be more sympathetic, and here's why. Here's a man, Jesus Christ, in the Gospels, the Bible. He forgives all sins. He says, all sins are against me, so I forgive you. He says he's going to come back at the end of time to judge the world. He says, before Abraham was, I am. He claims to have been eternal. So he makes all these absolutely crazy claims. And the founders of the other religions always said, I am a prophet or a sage here to point the way to God. And Jesus actually comes and says, no, 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 I'm God. I'm God, come to find you. And so Christians are actually in this position where if we believe what he said, then we have to believe it's a superior way to go. These are claims that the other religions don't make or the founders don't make. If we don't think he is who he says he is, and then we say, well, then it's an inferior way, but we can't just sit there and say, this is one nice way along with the others. It's impossible by the nature of the claims. And I'm not kidding when I say, please be sympathetic. Because we live in a pluralistic society where the idea that Jesus is the way looks very intolerant. But from inside, when you actually look at him, and if you get convinced by what he said, it's a position we have to go to. We don't go there because we just like to be right. We go there because we're just trying to be true to the one that impresses us so much as being who he said he was. I think it's time to wrap up.
We're trying to be true to the one who impresses us so much as being who he said he was. I love that. Today we're asking the question, do all religions lead to God? And I'm going to lay my cards on the table. I'm going to just give you a spoiler alert. I'm going to do this, speak this morning, obviously I hope you know this about me, with as much compassion and as much openness to different ideas as possible, but I'm also going to say no, all religions don't lead to God. But I hope you'll stay with me because I would really like to explore with you this morning why that's our position. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be wrong. Does anybody like to be wrong? If that's you, please come, like run a seminar and I will join it. I don't want to tell you something and then find out later that I didn't have it right. That's just embarrassing. I don't want to lead you in some way that turns out to need to be corrected, or that you have to toss it aside because it's not useful to you. No, thank you. I don't want that. And that's my commitment to truth. I do love being honest and being as transparent as possible in life. But if I'm also honest, I will tell you that it goes beyond just wanting to be a truthful person, and it's my pride. It's just my pride. I don't like to be wrong. It seems then that it would be better to just sort of be neutral. Stay neutral in life. Don't take a stand too strongly one way or the other, than to live with the consequences of being wrong about something, especially something important, right? Especially that something that you're, you know, recommending to someone else for their life. There's this feeling of, if I just don't have an opinion, if I just stay on the edge of really jumping in with both feet, then I will be in a safer place. I suspect that a lot of you might feel the same way. I can't, right? I can't be alone in this. Certainly our culture has taken that position. You can believe whatever you want to believe, as long as you also believe that I am just as right as you are, and that my belief system is just as valid as yours. That's kind of sums up how our culture feels. And on the surface, that seems very reasonable, doesn't it? How very kind, how very open-minded that sounds. Except when you take a moment and examine that way of thinking, you quickly run into a problem. And the problem is pretty serious, and is then, what is actually true? Like, what is actually true? If everything is true, then nothing is true. And so an all-inclusive philosophy about anything comes at the cost of truth. But the problem is, I also don't want to sound superior or exclusive or bigoted in any way. I might believe in Jesus, but I don't want that to be a problem for somebody else. Have you ever felt that way? So let's talk about it. Let's talk about that, because I know that those are thoughts and feelings that you, I'm certain, have had at one time or another. So the first thing I always want to do here is we want to say, what does Jesus himself say about this? So let's turn to John chapter 14. If you are in the YouVersion Bible app, which I encourage you to download if you don't already, then you can go to and events, and these scriptures are loaded there for you already. Going to read a little bit, you know, there's like obviously a key phrase in this particular passage, but we're going to read a little bit extra so that we have some context. It's always important. So John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, says this. Jesus, if you're like in my Bible, it's red because these are Jesus' words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then Jesus says something else in Matthew chapter 7. If you want to just flip over to Matthew chapter 7 quickly, just a couple of verses here. 13 and 14 say this. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Many of the commentators mention that Jesus being the way here is the main point of the passage. And it says he's the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. And the thing is, he is the way. He can be the truth and the life because he is the way. If you want to spend eternity with the Father, if you want to know the truth and have life, both now and forever, you will find it in Jesus himself. That's why he's the way to those things. So why is that? Because the way to God is a specific road. Why is Jesus the way? Why does this even matter? Because the way to God really is a specific road. Not a lot of different roads, a specific road. And in fact, at the time that Jesus said this, and this audience that he was talking to, his disciples, were Jews. And they had a Jewish background, of course, and they had learned the Jewish scriptures. And so this idea of the way was a concept that they would have already recognized. They would have heard it and understood it immediately, because Jews talked a lot about the way in which people had to walk and the ways of God. These are very familiar ideas from the Old Testament scriptures. Deuteronomy 5:33 says, walk in obedience to all the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess. Deuteronomy 31, for I know that after my death, you are sure to become utterly corrupt. This is Moses. And turn from the way I have commanded you. Isaiah 30, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 35, and the highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on the way. Psalm 27, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. So Jesus' claim that everyone is looking, for the right path. If that's you, you have found it in him. And especially for these first century Jewish people who had understood that there was a way to God. There was a correct path, a righteous path to follow in order to be able to be with God forever. And this does make sense that it's Jesus who claims to be the way, because Jesus is the only one who can lead us into God's presence without fear and without shame. No one else can do that for us. Because of the cross, because of his sacrifice for us, we are forgiven and we are made right with God. Or sometimes we will say, you'll read it as righteous. We are made righteous because of the forgiveness of our sins through Christ. And when we are made righteous and we are forgiven by Christ through his work on the cross, we are given status as co-heirs with Christ and adopted into God's family, which is a pretty incredible thing. That's me, right? That's annoying, right? Is it annoying anybody but me? I'll just try to stand still and preach. That's an adorable thought. That would be funny. We have been given status as co-heirs with Christ and adopted into God's family. And all of this is through Jesus, the way. He is the way that all of these things happen because of what he has done for us. And so this isn't this wasn't a flippant statement from Jesus, something he just threw off the cuff. It was something that was taken very seriously by his disciples. The early church, in fact, who were mostly Jews, especially, you know, really soon when it was first being formed, Jews who believed in Jesus, they were called the way. We talked about that a couple months ago, because of how deeply they understood and believed what Jesus said. They're like, we are now walking in the way that we had been told about through the Old Testament scriptures for such a long time. They were considered a sect of Judaism because they were known for their belief that Jesus was the way to God, and so they were literally called the way. And that's what the Bible teaches us over and over again. And that's what Jesus himself said about himself. This isn't a claim that somebody made about him much later. This is what Jesus himself says, that he is the way. So why did Jesus say and do these things? Is he trying to make it difficult for people? Is he trying to limit heaven's population? Does he not know that universalism, which would be like everybody eventually makes it to heaven somehow, or pluralism, that all roads lead to God, doesn't he know that that would be more in keeping with the love of God that we know about, that we say we believe in? Why is Jesus seeming to make things so exclusive in his claim that you only come to the Father through him, that he's the way, the truth, and the life? Now listen, I want to acknowledge that while it seems that this is exclusive, I want to be careful because we have to acknowledge that exclusivity can lead to a very slippery slope. The clip we watched at the beginning was from The Reason for God. It's a small group discussion that's based on a book by Timothy Keller. Timothy Keller points this out in that book, and he says, like, if someone believes that they have the truth and they know how to be saved and they know how to be connected to God, it has a tendency to stereotype others, to create this situation where, well, we know the truth and you guys don't, so we're better than you. And our human nature does that very, very quickly when we think we have the answer to something. History has shown us how this can happen, how easily this can spiral into marginalizing people, into oppression, into abuse, into violence, when we create these, like, I have all the answers and you don't situation. But I want to be clear here that this is not what Jesus is teaching. It seems exclusive to us, but that's actually not what Jesus is teaching. He isn't saying that this claim, that fact that he's the way is only for a certain group in this culture. Perhaps it was for men and not women. He never said that, but he did the opposite of that. He didn't say it was for the upper or middle class and not the poor. He didn't say it's for this race of people and not for any of the others. In fact, he was blowing the whole thing open to everyone, Jew and Gentile, to be able to be part of this family and receive these same rewards and blessings from him. He is absolutely inviting everyone to walk the road and to know about him. There are no exceptions to that. Everyone is invited to walk this road. Everyone is invited to know Jesus and to walk in the way. And if you've heard anything other than that, or you've experienced something other than that, that has claimed to be from the Bible, it's not from the Bible. The Bible is very clear. This is for everyone. If you've heard the opposite of that, it's not from Jesus. It's not Jesus you're hearing from. It's somebody who has gone down a slippery slope of exclusivity, and that's not what this is. And so for me, the most important thing that we always look at when we talk about anything, let alone something as controversial as this, is what does the scripture teach? We just read a couple of passages, but from my study of the word, the claims of the Bible and the teaching of Jesus, we can see that there is really no space for all religions lead to God. We see that Jesus says, that's not the thing, because I'm the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And that's how you find the Father. And we're going to talk a little bit about why that works. And I'm going to show you maybe a little bit in the real world and in some other religious claims why that makes sense. But I also want to tell you something about that. We're going to talk a little bit about some other religions. But I want to tell you at the end of this, I'm just going to spoiler alert this for you too. It may seem still to you a little bit exclusive, even though I'm telling you that it's as inclusive as it can be. I want to tell you that Jesus being the only way to God is not bad news. It's very, very good news. And I'm going to save that, but I'm going to tell you why. If you get to know other religions and their claims, you find out very quickly that all religions are not the same. So if you think, well, aren't we all kind of basically doing the same things in our own different way, and all of us are eventually going to find God in the end, and it just looks a little different, belief system to belief system. But the closer you look, the more you realize how untrue that is. All religions do not say that all religions are the same. Think about that for a second. All religions, so think about a world, another religion, they don't claim that all religions lead to God. It's usually Christianity that takes the heat for this, but it's actually true of almost every religion, that they don't claim that all religions lead to God either. At the heart of every religion is a deep commitment to a particular way of defining who God is or isn't, and defining the purpose of life for us. And you may have heard it said that, you know, we're all just searching for meaning, and religious belief is all basically the same, all spokes on a wheel, just leading to the center in our own way. And the proof of that seems to be where religions agree, often about having faith in a higher power, practicing some form of prayer, giving to others charity in some way, some form of spiritual discipline in your life. Social justice issues, and generally just living the right way. There are some common threads through so many of the religions that you'd find around the world. So doesn't that mean that we're all just headed towards the center of the same wheel? Unfortunately, no. And I suspect the reason that we see so much similarity between all of these religions is maybe something to do with the fact that we are all, each one of us, every part of the world, every person who's ever lived and ever will, made in the image of God. Each one of us is stamped by our Creator. And I think that something in us is pulling us toward Him, like a compass that always points true north. Or as Romans chapter 1, verse 20 tells us, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There is something in the world around us. There are these God's invisible qualities on display for us, His eternal power, His divine nature. And because we are made in the image of God, like a compass pointing north, it's like there is something in each one of us that knows that we have come from a creator, that there is something inside of us that draws us towards Him, and we're trying to figure that out. But we are limited in our ability to create a narrative of meaning for our own lives. Our finite and rebellious humanity creates meaning instead of finding our Creator to be given meaning. For Buddhists, it's the Four Noble Truths and the goal of reaching enlightenment so that you can be free from suffering and desire. For Hindus, this meaning looks like a diversity of belief in reincarnation and karma and worshiping many gods and goddesses and living out the goals of duty, wealth, desire, and getting free from the cycle of rebirth. For Muslims, it's the five pillars of faith: prayer, charity, fasting, and pilgrimages that lead to the submission to the will of Allah and living a righteous life. We could go through a lot of belief systems. Those are kind of maybe the top three you and I might think about, because so many people around the world would call themselves Muslims or Buddhists or Hindus. But there are many, many different things that people believe and different ways that people are looking for God. Different ways that people are trying to make sense of life, because life is confusing and hard sometimes. But as Tim Keller points out in that video we started with, they all make the same claim, that there are things you need to do to find God, or meaning, or freedom from the brutality of the world. There's a list of things that you need to achieve or to do. But only in Jesus do we find God coming to us with a rescue plan for our brokenness and the brokenness of the world around us. Only in Jesus do we find a hand extended by God himself to show us how to get to him. That's a huge difference. I want to be clear, Christianity does not claim that there is no truth in non-Christian religious books or belief systems. It only claims that the Bible is true, and whatever is contradictory to the Bible is false. So if the Bible teaches that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead in 3 days, and the Quran teaches that he did not, both books cannot be true about something so important. One of them is wrong, and for me, when I look at that claim, I'll tell you what I need in my life. You can call me weak if you need to. You can call it a religious crutch if you need to. You're welcome to. You're wrong, but you're welcome to. I'll tell you, if I'm looking at those two claims about Jesus and his death and resurrection, I need to follow someone who has conquered death, because I can't do that on my own. I need to follow Jesus. I needed him to not have just been a good teacher. I need so much. I have good teaching. I can find good teaching. I need someone who can rescue me. Jesus is so unique. His whole life and teaching can be held up and scrutinized and not found wanting. Everything he said and did made sense with the greater whole of his ministry and all of the prophecies that led to him coming to earth. His morality wasn't questionable. His authority was well documented. He didn't claim to have a superior way to understand and get to God. He said that he was the way to God because he was God. That's a completely different thought, friends. He is fulfilling all that had been promised to humanity through the scriptures for thousands and thousands of years, and it's not a claim that can be made anywhere else through any other system of belief. So do all religions lead to God? No. And this is why. That is very good news. This is what it says next in my notes. That's very, very good news, ellipses. Because I'm tired. That's what it says. Because I'm tired. I'm tired. My life is complicated. I am fighting a battle in my life on a lot of fronts. I think you might understand what that's like. I'm getting older. And people said this would happen as I got older, but it's true. Things are harder. My bedtime keeps getting earlier. If I'm like not getting ready for bed by 10, I'm like, this tomorrow's going to be the worst. Like, I, as you probably know, am in the middle of a complex family and relationship dynamics. Let's just say it like that. And they're super hard to navigate, and I'm tired. I am fighting my own fears and my own insecurities just on a lot of levels because I'm human. And I want to care about other people, and I want to do the right thing, but I am aware of how self-centered and thoughtless I can be all the time. I'm tired. Are you tired of yourself? I'm not tired of you. I'm just wondering about that for you. And I just kept coming back to this thought as I was preparing this message. I think Jesus being the only way to God is the very best news that I could bring to you because I am so tired. In every other belief system, I have to work harder. I have to do better. I have to be better. I have to figure out how I'm going to battle my demons today and not let other people see what's going on inside my life. I have to hope I'm going to reach the goal. Hope. I don't know what's going to happen after I die. Hopefully enlightenment. Maybe good karma. Maybe I'll get reincarnated in a better way. That's like literally a thing. Some kind of self-improvement. In some religions, just some kind of form of paradise. I'm hoping I've done enough and done enough work to get to that end, whatever that end is that I believe in. And I'm too tired to do it. I'm tired just thinking about it. But with Jesus, I find God saying, I'm so happy about this news. I'm not sad. So happy, but I might even cry. But I'm gonna try not to. When I look at Jesus, I find God saying, through him, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know what's interesting? Is this, am I gonna go off notes if I do this? Yeah, I am. It's gonna be fine. The interesting thing about this is sometimes it's hard to understand what does that mean? You know, Jesus' burden is light. And some of those things you unpack over a long period of time. We could just preach just on this passage today, of course. But the thing about Jesus is, I was telling a friend this just yesterday, the thing about Jesus is, not only is what you're exchanging, this heavy burden of trying to do all of these things and be enough and figure it out and battle all of these things, you take his burden, it's like light and his yoke is easy and it's restful. And then he also helps you carry that. Like, it's the best of both worlds with him. Because he strengthens you to carry the thing that he's asking you to carry, but what you're exchanging is already so much lighter. And then he says, "And I'm also coming alongside to strengthen you." Or as the old hymn says, which I love so much, he gives you strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Like, that's who Jesus is. Jesus doesn't say, "Do all these things and we will see if you make it to heaven. Good luck. I'm really cheering for you guys." Like, this is not who Jesus is. He says, "Come to me, I'll teach you, and I'll strengthen you to walk in the way." That's different, friends. It's not the same thing. My response, then, is to try to be true to the one who impresses me so much as being who he said he was. So I wonder this morning, really simply, do you know him like that? There's a word of warning in this as well. Not all religions lead to God. Can I tell you, friends, that religious-looking activities, even if they have Jesus' name on them, also don't lead to God? Church attendance doesn't lead to God. Gosh, I hope when you come here, you are transformed, and it's awesome to be together, and we want to create this atmosphere here, but this is not it. It's not a checkbox. Your Bible app reading streak does not lead to God, which I'm glad for, because I just broke it. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light, Lord. It's only Jesus. It's what he is reaching out to offer you. An exchange of your life and your burden and your brokenness for his healing and his life and his rest. And it will cost you your whole life. It costs you everything, and it is the best exchange that you could ever make. I promise you, friends. So I wonder, do you know him? Because I'm not telling you that the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada and our statement of fundamental and essential truths is the way to God. They wouldn't say that either, by the way. I am telling you that Jesus himself is the way, and you need to find him. And then let everything else in your life surround that fact. So I wanna give you two pieces of homework. Well, one piece of homework, one suggestion, and then I want to just take a minute to worship the one who impresses us so much as being the one, as being who he said he was. I want to challenge you. You can do it now, even as we go into a time of a worship just here in a minute. But for those of you who came into this place wanting this question answered because you weren't sure, I know that we could go on and on. There's lots we could say around this topic, but I'm hoping this morning that there was a couple of things that is going to stick with you. So for yourself, if this is a question you are wrestling with, I would love for you to jot down some of the main points before they're gone and say, this is why we believe that Jesus is the way to God, that not all religions lead to God. These are some of the reasons why we see this in Scripture and we see it in real life. We see the rubber meeting the road and it making sense. And if you had already sort of settled that in your heart, but you're getting asked this question by your kids in some way, shape, or form, your coworkers, your family members, your friends, you haven't felt confident to answer the question yourself, I want you to take a few moments and write down some of the things that you heard this morning to help you to be able to point others to Jesus too. Don't miss the opportunity to learn something this morning. That's one of our core values, is to learn so that we can be better equipped for whatever conversation the Lord might have us having in our week, week to week, day to day. So that's your little bit of homework. I would like you to jot some things down and say, what is it that I heard that I want to be able to communicate with someone else, or that I need to settle in my own heart? And I just think if you had a chance to just type that out in your phone or write it down on a piece of paper, maybe you're taking notes this morning, and say, here are the things that I could communicate with somebody else about how good of news it is that Jesus is the way. Marilyn, you can come. The second thing I want you to do is respond and give your life to Christ. So if this is your, if you've been to church your whole life, whatever, I want you to just take a minute, even as we worship in song, and I want you to take a minute and say, I just want to check my heart. Holy Spirit, come and check my heart. Am I looking at you, or am I looking at some other system to try to get me to you? It can look like a lot of different things, friends. You don't have to subscribe to another whole religious system to have some religious spirit in your heart. You're trying to earn your way in some way. You're trying to be better, and you've missed that his yoke is easy and that he is strengthening you to walk in the way. Maybe there are things in your life that you haven't surrendered to him, and you're still trying to hold on to, and those things, I would just encourage you to take this moment and just remind yourself that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is all you are looking for, and settle that again in your heart. But maybe for some of you, you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, and this morning you hear this. Maybe my passionate plea to tell you that I promise you this is the best news ever. Maybe you're ready to take a step of faith and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to know the one who claims to be the way, and I want to walk in it as well. I don't know what all that means. It doesn't matter right now. I'll learn. I'll figure it out. But I know right now in my heart that I want to say yes to this Jesus. If that's you, I want to encourage you to come and find Pastor Erin here, and you can pray with her. She'd love to just lead you through what that means and to pray with you as we have these closing moments together. Don't miss the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. You will not regret it. And could we just take a minute? Can I have a little bit more piano in this monitor too? Because we don't want this to be wrong. This would be very... I could probably do it from my spirit with you, Mary Lynn, but can we just stand together? And could we spend just a few moments worshiping the one who impresses us so much as being who he said he was? This is an old one. Here, let's just sing this with me. Sing Jesus.